sorrow, two for joy. Three for a good doctor or boy. Five for silver, six for gold. We all sing along to the beat, jump on show. Do the do do do. Three for a good doctor or boy. Five for silver, six for gold. We all wanna be on the beat, jump on show.
We have in the studio two awesome guests who, as we speak, are being shuffled out of the green room, Jack Daniels grabbed out of their hands, shoved into the live lounge of Reverb, just to say that they are from the band Balloon. My friends, hello.
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 How are you? We're going to drag you nearer the mic because it's only because, you know, anyone in your state needs to be right on the mic, because you're just such a ledge. We've got the lovely Ian and Elliot from Balloon. You are so welcome. How is it going?
Fantastic. Thanks for having us, Pete. It's such a great great thing to be here.
It's a story that I thought would never happen.
It's been on my bucket list.
Now, if ever that was flipped around, then we won the truth on this. So, full disclosure, I saw Ian and fellow band member then, who was?
David Shepherd.
Yeah. In Balloon, we reckon probably the borderline in 1992. I know. Stop it now. It's ridiculous. And you were supporting the Inigo Girls.
Yep. That's right.
And I always say Inigo because I've got a friend called Inigo, but it's actually the Indigo.
Indigo Girls.
That's right. Okay, before we even get anywhere. Oh, by the way, Elliot is your amazing son.
He is. Yeah, one of three.
Who I'm guessing probably wasn't around then.
No, he certainly wasn't.
He's not. He wasn't. No.
He wasn't even
not for 9 years.
So you were born in 2000.
2001.
You see, my math isn't so hot. So 2001, so rewind 9 years, and I was watching you and David at the borderline, just doing a support slot, basically.
That's right. Yeah.
Probably 30 minutes. And you were just so brilliant. I'd never, ever heard of you. And I ran to Tower Records that night after the Indigo Girls had finished, who I adore, absolutely brilliant, and found this, which I'm holding in my hands, this copy of your album, which was called Gravity, which is the same name as Bu Hewerdine's album, funnily enough,
yeah,
the same year.
Yeah.
And by Balloon, beautiful black and white cover. And I not only did I play it to death then, I have always played it to death. And I've never known anything about you since. And here you are.
Bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre.
Remarkable.
It is, but it's beautiful. And it's actually the power of radio, right? And it's
absolutely 100%.
Almost, I was going to say the power of the show, but I ain't going to go that.
No.
But we had Jared in from Blackwood Red Effusion, who I accused of not only being in Balloon but sounding just like you, which he took very well.
He'd never heard of me either.
Never heard of you. I said to him, "Forget it. You're not going to find these guys. This was 33 years ago. I doubt. I mean, literally, boo." So he did. He did a bit of research, and he sent me an email the next day going, "Was it this?" And he had a little screen grab of this album. I said, "Yes, that's it. That is the album." He said, "Well, look, they got new material." I said, "What?" And that was the. And then through that, lovely Kieran.
Yeah, and yeah, that absolutely. And I think Jared had messaged me to say, because he started, good for him, he started following me on Instagram or something. He messaged me and said, I was on the radio, and Pete, you know, who I, with all due, I mean, I didn't know you then.
Why
either.
Would you?
Why? Well, no, that's...
No, but that's, seriously, thought, let's go there.
Well, okay. And so I messaged you and said, look, I've got this record out. I hear you were talking about me. I'd love to come down and, you know, say hello. And it went from there.
And I'll
it?
Be honest with you, I would have been less embarrassing in front of Sting. when I emailed you back, I just couldn't quite believe this person was messaging me from my 33-year-old fandom. And you know, and as proven in the sound check, you know, I was filling in the lyrics that you were slipping on. Because this album has never, it's never gone away for me. It's always been, you know, when I go on a long journey, I dig this out because it's a timeless wonder. It's beautiful.
Well, it's lovely of you to say that. One of the good great things about coming back sounds a bit silly. I don't see this as a comeback. I mean, it's a process that happens in the way that it happens. But one of the great things of this new record is that so many people have kind of come back having discovered the first record and didn't realise, why would they, that I was still doing this stuff.
That is really
nice.
And
been
That's
reconnecting
great.
Or connecting for the first time with people who knew the band the first time around. And it feels great, fantastic. It's just so lovely.
So we'll get on to the new album in a minute. tell me about the first album. Yep. How did that come about? And was it an official record deal at the time?
Absolutely. And we'd sort of given up. David and I knew each other from, I mean, we were hanging out and there's a strong Brighton connection. We'd come down here. We were living up in Sutton, which is sort of, you know, up on the sort of Croydon area as kids grew up there. And but we were coming down here often, weekends, a lot of the time. This was kind of late 80s, I suppose. We'd sort of given up getting a record deal because we'd mailed off cassettes to every conceivable label, which is what you did in those days. There was no social media, no streaming, of course. And then I think a friend of David's who was doing a sort of freelance A&R for a label got a copy of the record, the cassette, and pushed it through to a label called Dedicated, who were a subsidiary of RCA BMG.
Yeah.
And they signed us, which was amazing. I mean,
did you have to go and meet them in person?
We went and we did more or less like we're doing now. We came down and we did a little show for them in their sort of kind of front room at the office. It was only a small office, one little not a boardroom or something, but a kind of a kitchenette and a room where the guy who ran the office was. And there was a piano in the main room. We had a piano player there who came with us. Lovely guy, Mick Bolton, who lived down in Hastings. And played for Dexys, Midnight Runners later.
Oh, wow.
And Mick's now passed away a couple of years ago, very sadly, but was a terrific piano player I'd known Mick for a long time. Played with us, and he came down and helped us out. And we did an audition kind of for them in the room there, me and David on acoustic guitar singing, no mics, no amplification, and Mick on the piano, and they signed us.
That is just lovely. That's a beautiful story. Yeah.
And to a proper deal, six album deal.
We only got to
album one, but
that six album. Why did they put six?
Because that's
in
the
there?
Way it was then.
Really, was it?
You'd sign bands, but to be fair to Dedicated, and they were great to us. They were looking at career development and that sort of thing, which doesn't exist really anymore. But in those days, people still were signing
six
artists
album deal.
Who they thought would have a long career.
Did that daunt you at the time?
Not at all. I was just so happy to have a record to make.
That's brilliant.
And the next thing was that they said, well, let's find a producer. And we had a list of people we'd like to work with, most of whom were dead, I think. And Michael Brook, who
you were shooting
that
high
record,
there.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we knew that. Michael Brook, who we didn't know at all, but as a terrific producer who'd produced people like Yusuf Ndour and Nusrat Ali Khan, the Qawwali singer from Pakistan, way out of our kind of range of musical influences at that time, and very left field kind of work with Peter Gabriel and people like that, and Daniel Lanois. He loved the demo that he heard, or the cassette demo, and said, I'd love to make the record.
Yeah.
Let's go to New Orleans and make it.
Well, I just noticed that. Yeah, New Orleans. And did you go out there?
We went to New Orleans and made it there.
Which is rock and roll.
I know it was, and I thought we'd just go to a little studio down the road in the old Kent Road or something and do it there in a garage or something, but no. We'll go there and play with people who played with Fats Domino and Little Richard and the musicians. The scales fell from my eyes. It was just mind-boggling.
And at the time, was there a massive tie-in? Did you have to shoot a video or videos? Was there a single?
There were singles, but there was never really promoted as a singles band, and it all got a bit confusing. We did videos, but they never really released other than sort of industry-only kind of preview type of things, but there was nothing commercially done. I think it was MTV was going for sure because that started mid-80s, didn't it?
Yeah, 85,
But we never really had a video. We did an MTV show on telly, a kind of a yearly thing, that an annual.
Was that out thing. In the States or here?
No, that was here, and we did two tours of the States, came back here, toured the UK, and played down in Brighton with Bill Hicks, the comedian.
Oh, I loved Bill Hicks. A friend of mine was working. Actually, would that have been 94 or a bit earlier?
That was earlier. That was 92. Yeah. This all happened in 92.
Yeah.
By 94, Bill was dead.
He did that at the end of that year. Yeah.
This was
so my friend was doing the last tour with him.
Ouch.
And he was editing the film they were making with Bill and got to know him really well.
Yeah.
Bill
was terrific. And, of course, Bill was the comedian, the cutting edge, hardcore.
Yeah, we need him. We need him now.
You're so right. You're so right, Pete. Yeah.
I've just seen there's a real, whatever the word is, I was going to say antipathy, that's not the right word. Jeopardy? No, that's the wrong word. It's a antipathy word anyway. additional engineering by Pete Jones.
Pete Jones. Yeah.
Get you, baby. This, I was destined for this. Come on, get in there. Why did I never see that before? That's awesome.
That is serendipity.
I love it. Now, listen, guys, I could talk the arse off you. I could genuinely chew it. But could you play something? And I have been very, very rude and cheeky. And because it's my favourite album of all time, I have asked you kindly if you could play, I don't know, two or three tracks from it.
We'd love to.
You've got the only hour slot we've ever done.
Oh, We're honoured.
Seriously,
we're honoured.
Ever. And don't you get ideas,
you
people.
You might be pushing pushing too much of a good thing there.
Well, we are 17 floors up. So
I'm not going to be responsible for the response of your listeners.
Don't lean back, that's what I'm saying, not from up here. So, folks, we've got Elliot and Ian from Baloo. What are you going to play live for us?
We're going to start with Can't Leave Her Behind, which is a track from Gravity.
Oh, gorgeous.
It's not your friend that I want. It's my own friend that I want to depend on, to hang upon. When love don't even bother to phone, I guess each time she called, no one's home. Away gone, out on my own. I can't hold back, hoping forever. Clouds gather, only one thing I can. One thing I can. One thing I can do is leave her behind on her own. Me on my feet, I can't hold back, hoping forever the weather looks bad. Thunderclouds gather, only one thing I can. One thing I can. One thing I can do is leave her behind.
Absolutely gorgeous. We have the absolute privilege of having Ian and Elliot, or Elle, here from Balloon, just doing what they do. What a stunning version. That was Believe, I believe.
That was I Can't Leave Her Behind.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Fools, again, that's another producer we got to let go, which is a shame because some of them are quite nice. believe in the family. That's what got me thinking.
Easy mistake.
There's
to make.
One line in there which I've always got wrong, and I didn't realise. I can't remember what it is now. But for years I've been singing
me
the
too.
Wrong line for the wrong line. Beautiful. So that was 92. It looked like it. You wrapped that up in January 92. So it sounds like you recorded all that in 91.
That's right.
Then so I saw you with the Indigo Girls. So how did that happen?
Yeah, well, after that we had an agent in the UK, and we had an agent in the US, which is fantastic, and we had the wonderful Marty Diamond, who's a classic sort of Marty Mad Dog Diamond, who's a sounds like his name suggests, which is he's a classic sort of Artie Fufkin type of Spinal Tap type of agent character,
yeah.
A lovely guy. He now is agent for Ed Sheeran and Coldplay and all these mega,
wow.
mega acts. I mean, you know, if I'd stuck around long enough and hung in there, who knows? And Marty set these things up for us and the record label as well. The Indigo Girls, we played with a whole bunch of...
Did you play quite a bit with the Indigo Girls?
We played a few times. We toured with Sarah McLachlan, the Canadian singer in the US, of course. Did that because Sarah played on the record as well and sang on one song, Tightrope Walker.
Ah, beautiful
and she
song.
And she was recording in New Orleans when we were there. And so we went on tour with Sarah and then we came back and we did a lot of gigs with a lot of you know, Indigo Girls were one of them, but
because I also saw in the same couple of months, maybe because the Indigo Girls, I don't know why they did. There was obviously 92; they were really pushing it, and I saw David Gray support them.
Yeah,
probably at the 12 Bar. I think it was the 12 Bar. And were you around that circuit as well?
Yeah, with David, we played with David a few times. We played in Islington at the Garage and a couple of other gigs with David. And he was also, you know, just on the cusp of he was a buzz name at the time, and he was trying to get there, and he was on the up. I loved the stuff he was doing then.
And yet, it took him another 8 or 9 years or 10 years for that White Ladder album to make it. So I mean, that was tenacity, isn't it?
That's right. Now he's had nothing but hats off to the fellow. I mean, he just put the hours in and gigged and gigged and gigged.
Well, I noticed. You just said that if I'd stuck around. So what happened?
Well, we tried to make this. We started a second record after that first record. And there was a point at which they said, you've got to move. And not you. I mean, they said.
Yeah.
There were suggestions made. Maybe you should go to the US and move over there, relocate over there. They had this idea that somehow I would become this kind of British Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Which seemed to me like a preposterous idea. I mean, I like Springsteen. But the thought of yourself being, you know, that kind of person, and not because I don't have anything with the musical affinity or anything, but just because it just was way beyond my power of understanding how that might work. But I didn't want to move to the US. I love being there on tour, but I had no real. Sam Fender, of course, has become a kind of an English.
Oh,
Bruce
massive.
Springsteen.
Yeah, well,
ironically,
it does sound, I mean, with the saxophone in there and everything.
Yeah.
I've seen him live as well, and it's a different thing. Yeah. It is a different thing. He's jumped on that, that Bruce.
And I think David and I just, we were always doing our own thing, and perhaps a little bit too, you know, maybe a little bit too driven in our own way to do our own thing and a little bit stubborn about that kind of stuff. And
what was your ambition at the time? We
wanted to just make music, the music that we wanted to make. And, I mean, you know, we'd done a record with Michael Brook, who was not our choice of producer, but they worked great, and we loved working with Michael. And so we were open to all kinds of things. We did the next record. We started with Mark Stent, Spike Stent, who's now a world-famous mix engineer, was a big star in those days, was doing Massive Attack and stuff like that, but he's gone on to do just everybody who's anybody. And he was trying his hand at production. He started the second Balloon album, which we did a bunch of tracks, some of which kind of have since seen the light of day in various forms, but it just didn't happen. And the label also, I think, was hitting, it had signed an eclectic bunch of acts, including us. Spiritualized were on the same label, and Jason at Spiritualized was also another of these. You know, he would do his own thing at all costs. He was not going to be told what to do by the label. And I think in the end, money became an issue for the small. They were an independent owned by a major, and the major started asking for their money and the hits to be made. And we were never a band. We thought we were commercial, but we weren't a hit-making band in that sense. And we weren't.
Yeah.
We didn't go into it to be a singles band or a hit band, although I think we had the potential to do that.
I wasn't even aware there was a single from it.
There was a single, but it wasn't promoted in any way. There was no video made or anything like that. I think Now That the Thrill's Gone was a single. A Tightrope Walker was a single and was pushed, but... Yeah, radio kind of got it here and there.
Yeah.
And in those days, it was very different, as you know, Pete. You know,
yeah.
Pre-streaming and stuff.
Massively different. Did you go into GLR and do a session?
We did GLR. We did, you know.
Who did you do that with? Can you remember?
Oh, crikey. Who did we do that with?
Because this show came out of GLR. I can't remember.
It certainly wasn't sort of Janice Long or someone. I mean, you know, Gary Crowley.
Yeah.
We didn't do it with Gary. Gary discovered this new album, actually, and it's become a huge help
great.
As well.
Good,
it's
good,
fantastic.
Good.
And he's been terrific in playing it on his Radio London show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't remember.
No,
who
it doesn't
was we
matter.
Did back then.
I mean, there was Robert Elms and there was Peter Curran and there was all those guys. Yeah. But I mean,
But we did all those things. We did the radio, we did the shows, we did the gigs, and we put the miles in and all the rest of it. But then the record label started getting. I mean, there was a sort of a point at which there was a sort of impasse between us and them as to where we were going to go. They didn't like the record we were making with Mark. That kind of fell by the wayside. And then I think there was other stuff playing in the background in terms of what the label was expected to do by the people who owned that.
Had you written enough?
Yes, we had the second record ready to roll.
Well, where
and all
is
the rest
that
of it.
Stuff?
Well, it's still sitting around, I suppose. Some of it made its way in some form onto the last record.
Yeah.
Some songs have been around since those days, not many of them, and some of it's just sitting there in the archive doing nothing.
And what became of you and David?
And then David, I think we both of us got very, very fed up with the kind of the business side of it. We never wanted to be involved in the business.
Yeah.
It's something you hear from the musicians, I suppose, a lot.
Yeah,
you're just doing it for the music and the fun of and playing. And it was took so long to get from the point of creation and conception to actually getting something out there, the lead times and the length of time it took was just ages, you know.
But
it was just too long.
I mean, I think it was off air, and I was just saying, you know, because I was waving this proud CD in the air, and I said, how many copies did you have to press and how many copies did you sell? And you said 15,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. And you said, yeah, but in 92, it was literally didn't even appear on a graph.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was that kind of crazy thing. You had to shift the units, didn't you?
Yeah. You did, absolutely. And that was worldwide, and we shifted a lot in the bulk of those in America, I think.
That's interesting as well.
It never was released in most of Europe, which is kind of a shame, because I think France may have been a good market in these sort of places.
Yeah, I think
so. It feels to me. But
and the Netherlands. And,
yeah,
you know.
For sure. Yeah.
Do you guys want to do another track?
Yeah.
Because with, you know, I mean, I literally could, this could go on until midnight, because I, but what are you going to play?
We're
going to
play Bellevue. Take your eyes off him. Take your eyes off her. For I can't have him, and you won't hold her. Silver ring for which you'd saved. Won't save you those rainy days when the thought of her naked beside you keeps you awake. Try close your eyes. No misdemeanor, no end of misery. Should make you leave her. Love knows no jealousy. A silver ring for which you'd saved. Won't save you the days When the thought of a naked beside you keeps you awake, try close your eyes.
Just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It's just, I can't tell you, I mean, to be honest, the magic of hearing these tracks being brought to life. And it must be lovely for you to be playing alongside Elle. I mean, it's just fantastic, huh?
Yeah, well, Elle's playing, you know, Elle's a musician,
yeah,
and plays in this fantastic Dutch band Moving, which I have to give a plug to because they are terrific.
Moving.
I mean, why they aren't sort of sitting in my seat doing the kind of main thing and I'm supporting them is in itself a mystery, because they're great, and they're you know, a tip for the top from my side for sure.
Well, sling us a track at any time and we'll squeeze them on the show.
That would be great. Thank you.
There's plenty of reasons. Are you in the writing process as well? I mean, yeah.
In my band, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I write together with the guitarist.
Yeah.
It's mainly his job, but I come in and help him out here and there, and yeah.
And what's it like working on these old Balloon tracks?
It's an honour, really. I love the album as much as you do.
They're great, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they are. And the new ones too. So
the new ones are gorgeous.
I'm always very honoured to be able to play.
I'll be honest, I was very nervous about playing the new one because I was like, well, because of this is such a, you know, and you think, well, I don't know, where have you been? And I don't know what you were going to, what's inside you. And it's every bit, it's really great.
Oh, thank
it's
you,
lovely.
Pete.
It's
thank
really
you. No,
beautiful.
It's tricky, isn't it? You know, and I hear what you're saying. It's, for me too, it's, you want to do your best work, but it's up to the world to judge whether that is. I mean, I can like it as much as I want, but ultimately it's about you guys and the people listening. Liking it, that's what I do it for. I mean,
sure.
I don't want to sound sort of some Mother Teresa about it,
no,
what I mean?
It's definitely. Yeah. So fill me in on the 33 years.
Yeah, so David and I kind of, I mean, we parted ways because it was just getting so difficult to kind of get anything going with the label. We were in a sort of a holding pattern with nothing happening. There were legal things going on. It's a sort of a bit of a cliched rock story, isn't it? You know, you're stuck there, not able to make a record for all sorts of reasons that are beyond your control. And he just said, you know, and I was feeling the same. I'm going, finances were running dry. We're going to have to go and get ourselves a day job.
Did you walk away with anything like a wage out of it?
No, we were for 3 years from 90 when we signed until probably maybe 94 when it all went. So 3-4 years we were supporting.
You could live
on it. That's
what
we were doing. Yeah,
and you didn't end up having to pay back a whole chunk of money.
No, I mean, I owe Sony, who now own the rights to that record, because they obviously inherited them from buying BMG when that went, and Sony bought that label, which owned the record rights on behalf of the Master Recordings. That is, I obviously own the songs themselves, but those recordings are owned now by Sony, and I owe them a bunch of money for all the stuff that, you know, they paid or paid by BMG or Dedicated.
Do you actually owe them money?
Well, if
is that
no,
how
I mean,
it works?
No, I mean, I can't. I don't have to pay them a penny.
Yeah.
Unless, but if I sell another copy of that record, Gravity, then they are paid back before I am. So I have to clear that debt before I'm going to get anything. So I'm still, you know,
I'm
in
so
the,
ignorant on this,
yeah,
but it's
still
crazy.
Still
huh?
in the red in terms of owing them a shed load of money before I could see anything off that record. I mean, it's theoretical because they're not coming knocking like the bailiff saying
exactly,
where's that cash?
Exactly.
That's just how it works. That's
yeah.
the risk they
yeah,
took.
Totally.
And in those days, people were throwing bagloads of money at bands, and they would sign 100, and maybe one would work, and that would cover the cost of the losses.
Yeah.
And the others.
Well, the fact that you guys were on a plane to New Orleans straight away.
I know, it's nuts.
Can you imagine
it's
that
just
now?
Me you're talking about.
It's
come
fantastic,
on.
Fantastic though, but it is
if
great
known,
as well.
Never have
hey,
done it,
wait a minute.
Gone. Oh, come on. There's a shyster on board.
Pull back, come on, get him. Before we move on to the new album, is there another track in
yeah,
there?
Yeah, we're going to play Paraffin Flap.
Oh, God. Love these guys.
If you promise not to sing along.
I cannot. No, I'm signing no paperwork. No, I am belting this one to the rafters and you put up with it. Take it away, my gorgeous people.
Hey, love supreme, it is a calling. But the Holy Ghost still has his mind on mourning. As he takes the night and he calls the pawn in, his queen is trying on the clothes she's born in. I rest a rest in a drunken brawl, in the worst of my two minds I've been called. Try catch the sky when the nighttime falls. Where the moon should be, there's a gaping manhole. It was on the cards, well, I always said so. If they sell the stars, I'll never find my way home. There are no leaders unless you choose to follow. I rest a rest in a drunken brawl. In the worst of my two minds I've been caught. Try catch the sky when the nighttime falls. They kill a man who holds a 50-pound note, who stands around saying, drown your sorrows. For there's no way you'll ever break the rainbow. But he's too straight and he's far too narrow. I rest a rest in a drunken brawl. In the worst of my two minds I've been caught. Try catch the sky when the nighttime falls.
Just absolutely beautiful, and the mic was not on me, sadly. But every word was being sung. Paraffin flat there.
We'll dub you in later.
Please do. Okay, but I have a confession to give you, by the way. The mic was not up for the very first line that Elliot joined you. So that's a PJ mix there, right there. We own that one. And it's going to be years of you paying me back, as I've just learned. So just before, have you guys ever decided or thought about writing together?
We haven't actually ever talked about it.
Well, now's the conversation. Mics are up.
That's a great idea. I mean, you know, Elliot's music. Music is in the house. I mean, you know,
sure,
I've got three sons, and they're all kind of, you know, madly into music, and it's all around all the time. So I'd love to work with Elliot and write together and stuff. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Well, it, from what I can gather, I think it would work. So tell me, fast forward to the new album. We've got it here. It's an absolutely beautiful thing. I've been listening to stream bits, but, this is the actual vinyl. Gas and Air, what was the story? How did it all suddenly come about?
Yeah, so I continued to keep my hand in the music, but I had to go back to work. I was a journalist.
Yeah.
That was my kind of career, I suppose, outside of music. I never seen music as a career. It was just something that I wanted to do and did. When I went back to work, it was to work as a journalist. And
was that, what kind of journalist?
I was a newspaper reporter. I started on local papers when I was sort of 17, 18 years old. Croydon Advertiser and these kind of things, and Sutton and Epsom and that sort of area up in South London. And then in the end, I was working in for the FT, for the Financial Times, yeah, as a correspondent. As I was working, I moved to Amsterdam. I left Britain in 98. I married met on tour when I was playing on tour in Amsterdam. I met a beautiful Dutch lady, yeah, married her, yeah, and moved back to the Netherlands in 98, and or moved to the Netherlands in 98, and got a job with the FT as a correspondent through her. She was working as a photojournalist,
oh, brilliant,
in London,
a
for the FT, a photographer, absolutely, and. And then I kept, music was always there or thereabouts. And then so I bumped into a few people who said, if you ever fancy kind of redoing something or making something again, then let us know. A good friend of mine who produced that record with me, Phil Vinal, I never quite know which way. Yeah. Phil Vinal is almost too good a name for a record producer, but
yeah,
it's pronounced Phil Vinal,
yeah,
I think. I'd known from way back in the day, and Phil was working in Mexico then. He also left the UK in the 90s, couldn't get arrested because music changed and, yeah, that kind of production was not required and everyone was doing it themselves. He said, let's come over here if you want and make a record with me. So I did, and he rounded up a bunch of Mexican musicians who were terrific,
oh,
and we
cool,
made that record in Mexico City and mixed it back here in London.
Was this last year?
This was 2 years ago we made it, so it came out last September. So almost a year ago it came out.
And what, yeah, did you have those songs?
I had those songs
pretty well in a state. And where had they been born?
Some of them I had for a while and had been carried around with me and had tried to kind of, there'd been a few false starts in trying to bring them to the world in the intervening time. And I'd worked with Luke Haynes, also, who's now, you know, who was and still is, you know, kind of a big star in that world, the indie world, and the auteurs, and now working with Peter Buck, of course, and has made a great record with him. And Luke was always really supportive as well. And so a bunch of people had tried to kind of help me get them out, but they hadn't really happened. It's Underneath My Bed, which is on that record,
yeah,
one of those
great
songs.
Track.
We'll
do, I played it, actually,
we'll do
first
that,
one I
we'll
played.
Do, we'll do that later, yeah, great, as well for you. And the rest I wrote, you know, just from the, you know, the stuff I was writing now.
And did it just all come, was it?
I never stopped writing, Pete,
yeah,
and it was,
yeah,
always, it wasn't something that I did. But I had so little time when I was working as a journalist, it was the focus, perhaps, and the time wasn't there to,
yeah,
do it.
And then family often, and kids and
exactly,
living and
exactly,
money
there was
and
a lot of other stuff
and,
happening that, yeah, was getting in the way of it. And in the end, I had to just leave work and do it full time and commit to say, well, I'm just going to do this again and give it a shot and see what happens. So I...
Listen, what are you going to... Because let's hear, yeah, a track from it, because, yeah, honestly, it's... just such a great album. What are you going to play?
We're going to play There Is Love. We're going to try and play it anyway. As you sing in the deep, inky sea that is asleep, let the last one to leave a light on for me to steer past the tears and then back from the loss, way past the fears to the land you forgot. The stuff we can touch that means more than so much. When you're bruised and you're crushed, I can swear between here and nowhere, there is love.
I'm going to stop you there because I know exactly what that is. And is your phone on sound? Turn your phone off. I should have said this. Oh. It's a pre-record, but it's 3 p.m. on Sunday the 7th. And the government have infiltrated all our phones. at 3 p.m. Wow. And actually, it doesn't seem to matter if the volumes are up or down. So yeah. I'm hoping Radio 4 is trashed and Radio 2 and 6 Music, because we're just going alarm crazy here. Mine, I don't think, is making a sound, which is good. But I've got, it's vibing. It's telling me all sorts of things. There's a mine is the last voice you will ever hear. Throwbacks to it from the 80s. Anyone who's around, we had this fear back in the day, man. We don't need it now. What? I can only apologise. Let's pick it up. We're gonna take over the blinking airwaves. Thank you, government, for chucking us out. And I kicked myself because I should have said I remember this was happening at 3. So that was the alarm mix.
Brilliant.
Oh, dear. So apologies. Yeah, no, mine was on silent and I should have shouted and screamed.
Mine was on silent.
So maybe
mine too.
It doesn't matter.
No, it just came through.
But that's crazy. There must be places, like people must have just put them in fridges and things if they were had important.
So what should we do?
Where were we, man?
Should we start again or should we do?
Start again and I'll cut.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. As we sink in the deep, inky sea that is sleep, let the last one leave. Leave a light on for me to steer through the tears and then back from the loss. Way past the feast to the land we forgot, the stuff we can touch that means more than so much. When you're bruised and you're crushed, I can swear between here and nowhere there is love. Comes the wind that will end when the wild turns to wild, leads us to where we can lay down beside the dark clouds above. But they don't scare us none, they're just bundles of fluff in thin air, don't dare to go there. There is love. When you're losing your touch and your glue is unstuck in the shadows and blush, and you're scared, no one cares, we'll go there. For we're handfuls of dust, disintegrate at the touch. Might as well place your trust in a prayer. Nothing there, don't despair. There is love. Thank you.
the squeaky mic version, of course. Technical reasons. That is absolutely beautiful. We got Balloon here. You're listening to just an extended session, really, with Ian and Elle from Balloon. That was There Is Love. It's from the latest album, which I've just dropped beautifully, with a cover which looks rather retro, my friend. I'm going to date that, but you know, you won't love me for it. What do you reckon? 88, 89, or 90? When was that?
That is even earlier. That's like 78.
Bless you. Okay, I was being kind. What was I being kind? I don't know what I was being. It says here, I love it. Cover, unknown, but possibly Pete Wicks.
Yeah.
Who took that. So that was you in your bedsit or somewhere hanging out. Absolutely. Back in the day. So it's got that kind of nod and a wink to the old times. But very much brand new album. What's the plan? Is it possible to see you guys play
live?
We're going to come and play.
Absolutely. Yay! Yes. We're sorting a tour now. It won't happen until March.
That's all right. We can wait.
Thank goodness for that.
We can wait.
And we'll, as things stand, we'll be playing the Folklore Rooms in March.
Beautiful.
Early in March.
Hey, listen, if you've got a date, I'm going to weld it now.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the top of my head, it's the 10th. Is that a Tuesday? I think it's the 10th of March.
I'm just flipping over my Apple Mac. Beautiful. Oh, what am I doing? It's the wrong year. Well, there's me rumbled. Well, never mind. That's the thing about diaries. They don't work. So 10th of March-ish, probably, but it doesn't really matter. We will always. Are you going to own that night, or are you going to have anyone supporting?
I'm not sure how it's going to work yet. I mean, it may well be that we work with or play with someone else.
Have you been to the Folklore Rooms?
I haven't, but I've heard great things about it. And very small.
It
I know.
Beautiful.
But Pete, stunning. Maybe I'm being. You know, I'm not trying to be kind of, you know, falsely modest here, but getting 60 or 70 people out any night of the week these days
totally.
Is not easy.
No, it really isn't. It really isn't.
You know, I'm not relying
it's
or not
be
counting on.
So beautiful in there. It really suits you.
I hope so.
It's a gorgeous space, and the sound is really good in there. Really good. Are you hearing that whistling as well? Yeah. I hope it's not the government getting to us again. Blimey. More on that story later. But my ears are whistling like a loon.
Something's buzzing from the speakers.
Why? You see, there's no need. I'm going to turn that. Is that still buzzing? Yeah. Geez, I tell you, the government. So talking of that, and you know, where are you at with politics and music? I mean, do we need more?
We certainly do. You know, it's a bit of feedback, though, isn't it?
Yeah, don't worry. We're going to have to crash on. I've turned everything down.
Yeah. We're living in very strange times, and it's incredibly depressing. I was at a great little venue in Sutton in Surrey, seeing some friends down there just the other day in the Sound Lounge, which is one of those great little cafe. They put on great gigs there, and it's run by lovely people, and they had their windows smashed in by flag waving so-called nationalists or whatever. It's just horrifying what's going on
ugly,
in the world.
Ugly.
And look, you know, I love this country as much as anybody, but I'm not it's not for those reasons.
No, I cycled down to the seafront this morning, and suddenly there's a string of Union Jacks and whatever the England flag is called, and it's a shame not to be proud of it, but you know why they're up, you know. You know why they are be flying. It's not about anything about the flag. It's the message that these people are using for
I'm afraid
it.
So.
And that's the bit to unpack from all that. Listen, I'd love you to play another track from this new album, and then tell me all about plans for 2026. New material and all those sorts
Absolutely.
Of things. And if you can bear with the feedback, and I don't know what's going on. Can you? Yes, even louder out there. I'm just taking my headphones off. It shouldn't be coming even out of the speaker. We got nothing coming out of that speaker. But anyway, never mind. You plug on, because it's sounding. I'm recording through these mics, and it's okay.
Yeah, but is it picking up that speed? That
well,
sound through these?
A little bit. Chumper.
Yeah, we're going to play Magnetic North, I think.
Okay, well, something very magnetic. Yeah.
That could be that good.
Oh, man, like we needed anything else going on here. Guys, take it away. Yeah. Thank you.
Northern Town. Tore me down again. Hanging round all that time misspent. Pockets of stones to throw while moping here till morning. Hoping on hope that there are arms to catch me falling. Starlings are blown clear off the sky. Lifting the sheds, fences and bikes. Watching the tears passing us by. Dry all the clouds before they can cry. I'll be waiting. Wednesday came, Wednesday went again. Broken hearts, broken arms and legs. Waving away the waves that break along the shoreline. Wasting our days here, waiting aimlessly for sunshine. Starlings are blown clear off the sky. Lifting the sheds, fences and bikes. Watching the tears passing us by. Dry all the clouds before they can cry. I'll be waiting. Northern town tore me down again.
We've got Balloon here, of course. Magnetic North there, Ian and L on. Well, just everything, really, quite frankly. So the plan, March, you're going to come. Is that a kind of a UK thing?
Well,
are you going
to
do gigs?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out, Pete. And I'm trying to keep it kind of, figuring logistics versus cost versus, you know, how the band and who's going to play and where we're going to play and all those kind of factors.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Are we going to be able to sort of make this cover at least costs? I'm not hoping to sort of make any money on it, but it'd be good to just at least not have to fork out huge
pay
amounts
for everything. Yeah,
so it's that. So we're playing Brighton, we'll play the Prince Albert in Stroud over on that side as
yeah.
well. We won't try and play too many things close together, but I don't think that I'm going to be going to a wet Wednesday wet night in Grimsby on
right.
a Wednesday night and
yeah.
for two people at the Dog and Duck. Can't quite see that happening.
Yeah,
so probably relatively South England based.
Yeah, tap into
a week of shows, probably maybe the Betsy Trotwood in London, hopefully the Sound Lounge in Sutton, those kind of places.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to join?
I would love to.
Bring your mic up.
Take time off school.
I would love to. I'll manage with school. Yeah.
Something will happen. Yeah. That sounds great. And new music? New music?
There's a new record written and ready to rock and roll. And that's I'm now in the process of trying to figure out how to do that and where to do that and with whom. You know, that's also kind of why I'm down this way as well today.
Yeah,
I need to talk to one or two people here that I know and have... studios and musicians and stuff. The thing about Balloon is me and as L, and L's helping me out for this, but he's got his own thing to do, but there's no Balloon band as such, you know. It's not like there's 16 people sitting around waiting to ask me to ring them up, and there's no people I can't afford to have on the payroll.
Yeah.
And it is quite, I mean, there's quite a lot of music going on in Balloon, in if you listen to the records.
Totally.
Which I'd love to be able to reflect on the stage shows as well. So we need to bring, enough musicians for that, but also in making the new record, there's quite a lot of musicians required. So that's in the process of happening.
What about going back to Mexico City? Would you do that?
I'd love to go back to Mexico City. I don't know whether I can afford to go back to Mexico City and do it. That's also part of it. But making records in those places, I love it because you go there and I've been so fortunate to work with musicians that this has worked so well in my favour, that don't know me and don't come to it with any sort of preconceived notions or ideas, and just bring their own wonderful energy and skill and talents.
And can you smell and feel and hear Mexico City in this?
I think, I don't know, that's for the listener to say, but certainly I can hear it in the same way that I can hear in the first record, New Orleans, the sort of the room that you record it in, there's a sound there that comes through for me, but that may be just personal. But there are kind of mariachi trumpet type moments and flourishes in that, record.
I wish you Elle's got to do the melodicas version. You know, keep you busy over there.
So how we do that live remains to be seen.
Interesting,
interesting challenge.
Would you like to go out with one last track? What would you like to play?
Underneath My Bed.
Can I just thank you from the heart of my bottom, because it has been such a privilege to have you here.
It's been an honour.
Honestly.
And fantastic
and
fun.
And you've fought fires to get here. I mean, to do the pre-record, first of all, to have the government alarm going off, to have security at the door, to have people on the 17th floor looking through the window. Only me and Els were experiencing that, but we both blanked
it. I think it's just the window.
Can I thank you for blanking that as well as I was blanking it? Because we don't know what was going to go on there. Something is crazy. That's the thing about doing it here.
Could have walked in.
The old goldfish bowl of the studio here. Ian, what are you going to go out with again? Oh, Under My Bed.
Underneath My Bed.
Underneath My Bed. You see, I'm good on the titles, right?
Yeah. You'll get that.
Folks, this is Balloon.
Underneath my bed, underneath my bed, down among the bones, down gathering dust, in a big old case I got. Ears of Ira Gershwin, mouth of Buddy Holly, charm of Audrey Hepburn, luck of Stan and Ollie, legs of Eric Markham, eyes of Robert Capper, I got them all keeping safe. Underneath my bed, down among the bones, down gathering dust, in a big old case I got. Hand of Henry Miller, silence of Marlena, heart of Edith Piaf, heart of Tommy Cooper, voice of John McCormack, taste of Wilfred Bramble. I got them all just in case. Underneath my bed, down among the bones, down gathering dust in a big old case. Underneath my bed, underneath my bed, down among the bones, down gathering dust, way past the past, blast through the day, in a special place where I keep it safe. I've got all this stuff, nothing here is for sale, underneath my bed. Underneath my bed, underneath my bed, down among the bones, down gathering dust, underneath my bed.
Thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute joy. You know that. Please come back. Maybe when you are guys are doing the you know, the,
would love to,
the tour in March. Yeah. I don't know if it, what day, you reckon that fell on a Tuesday?
Yeah, the Monday we could potentially.
If, seriously. It might work. Let's hope. Let's fingers and everything else crossed. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. It's
thank
been
you.
A joy, honestly.
For gold.